All right, our next speaker is Adam Whalen, and the title of his presentation, is Adam here? The title of his presentation is Populations of Foraging Honeybees in Mid-South Cotton and Other Crops.
Thank you for that introduction. Like I said, my name is Adam Whalen. I'm a graduate student at Mississippi State University, studying under Drs. Angus Ketchot and Dr. Jeff Gore. And today I'm going to be talking to you about populations of foraging honeybees in Mid-South Cotton and other crops. So first I'd like to mention a few things about the declining pollinator health worldwide. So globally, they've noticed declining populations of both managed and native pollinators. There are several proposed causal mechanisms that include habitat loss, viral pathogens, parasitic mites, and pesticides. One reason that pesticides are being suspected is because they've detected many agrochemical compounds in both honeybee wax and pollen samples of bees that were managed near agricultural environments. With these pesticides, the biggest concern are sublethal effects. The concern is that honeybees may bring sublethal doses of pesticides back into the hive, and this may cause behavioral modifications which will affect the social insects and can cause detrimental effects to the colony. One suggested option that's being suggested is night spraying to reduce exposure to honeybees, but this may not be very feasible for fields that need to be sprayed by airplane. So this is a list of insecticides that was prepared by Clemson. It was published by Clemson University, and it lists the commonly used insecticides that are highly toxic to honeybees, and these include such as orthene, Timic, Capture, and many other commonly used chemicals. This group is the moderately toxic list, and again, there's a lot of commonly used chemicals on here, such as Vidate and Counter and many more. So most of these chemicals that are toxic to honeybees on their labels have some kind of statement that reads this product shouldn't be used when honeybees are in the treatment area or maybe at risk to come in contact with the product through drift. And I just pulled a few statements from the labels just to show this with Bidrin, Karate, Orthene, all commonly used insecticides. So this is what led to our objective, which is to determine when and at what densities European honeybees visit agronomic crops in the Mid-South, which includes the states Mississippi, Arkansas, and Tennessee. So what we did was we wanted to scout fields of cotton, corn, and soybeans for European honeybees that were foraging. And we wanted to scout these fields at three different time intervals, morning, midday, and evening. So we defined the morning time interval as 3 hours immediately after sunrise. And midday was simply the time 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. And evening was defined as the 3 hours immediately before sunset. So for each time interval and location, we took weather parameters that included temperature, humidity, wind speed, wind direction, and cloud cover. We also took the growth stage of the crop, and if there was an apiary near the field, we recorded the distance. So the way we conducted this scouting was we took three observers, and we slowly walked for 50 meters of row and simply counted the number of foraging honeybees on each individual row using a hand counter. We sampled these for the honeybees at the distances of 0, 20, 50, and 100 meters from the field edge. We used an unchecked planted row as a buffer between each observer. We also used a sweep net at 25 sweeps per row to sample cotton and soybeans, but that data is unavailable at this time. And we recorded our data as honeybees per 50 meters of row, but by obtaining the row spacing, we were able to convert that number to bees per acre. and we sampled roughly around 30 fields for each crop throughout the region. So this data right here, this data reflects what we saw with bees of acre per crop. We saw significantly the most bees in soybeans, well, significantly more than corn, with cotton not having significantly different than corn or soybeans. And these means were subjected to log transformation. For time of day, we saw the most honeybees in the middle of the day, and then we saw the least in the evening. So we did have an interaction between time of day and crop, and we had with in the middle of the day in soybeans was when we observed the most honeybees, and in the evening time is when we saw the least amount of honeybees, and that was in soybeans. So we did not see any significant difference between the number of honeybees observed in across the distance. And what one would assume that we would what we saw here with bees of acre for flowering crops was that was what we would assume would be where more honeybees were in flowering crops than non-flowering crops. And we had an interaction between flowering plants and crop, and we saw the most honeybees in soybeans that were flowering. So in conclusion, we saw the most honeybees in flowering soybeans. Honeybees were most active in the middle of the day between 10:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. Distance did not play into factor how many honeybees. Distance was not significant. And night spraying may not be as effective as afternoon spraying as a way to limit contact with honeybees. It may be better to spray in the afternoon and allow time for the residual to wear off over the night and then into the morning before midday when honeybees are more active in the field. I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Angus Ketchot, Dr. Scott Stewart, Dr. Gus Lorenz, Dr. Jeff Gore, Dr. Don Cook, Dr. Fred Musser, and all my fellow graduate students, as well as student workers, Mississippi State University, Cotton Incorporated, the Mississippi Soybean Promotion Board, and the Mississippi Corn Promotion Board, and everyone else that contributed to this project. And at this time, I'll take any questions. Yes?
You mentioned that you accounted for distance to the nearest apiary.
Yes.
What about direction? You mentioned you recorded the weather conditions that you had wind direction.
His question was if we took the direction of the apiary and if it played any role with wind direction, and that's something we haven't looked at right now, but that will be something very interesting to look at. Thank you.
Got time for some other questions? Go ahead, John.
One more.
Okay.
You made observations during three times of the day.
Yes.
Do you know anything about movement of bees, say at dawn and dusk? Maybe it's harder to monitor, but I just know from observations, personal observations in citrus growing areas, that often driving a car would be driving through just a large group of bees flying between groves or something like that. And I was just wondering if the field crops, if you're aware of anything like that, a timing that might not be recorded in a three time a day example.
His question was if I knew anything about maybe if honeybees were in any row crops during the dawn and dusk periods. And we didn't look at that time, and I guess I'm unaware if they are. Yes.
Did you make any observations about surrounding habitat and flowering plants that might impact the visitation of these tree crops?
For some of the fields, we did take some of the surrounding weeds. We did note what was around it, but for the most part, we didn't record flowering vegetation near the fields.
Got a question sort of along with that. Whenever we see honeybees in cotton, it's usually because there's a drought. And I'm not too certain that the honeybees are actually visiting and collecting pollen, because this is actually a large pollen. And it's my understanding that, in fact, they'll try to knock that pollen off, but I think they're visiting the fields for the nectary because there's nothing else out there flowering or blooming. Do you take that, you looked at the weather data, have you considered that as a factor in, what you saw in soybeans versus?
We didn't look at the, rain periods or any drought or anything like that, but we do attribute some of the bees that we observed in the non-flowering crops were for the extra floral nectaries in the cotton.
All right, we have time for another question. Anybody else?
I think we have one more question.
Oh, we do.
Let me ask, in spring might be the best time to avoid feed exposure, but we've always instructed that drip occurs worse than when it is easily laid out. So what factors do you need to balance here to mitigate exposure and
His question was with I recommended late afternoon spraying to reduce honeybee contact, but that's also when drift highest occurrence because of wind. And let's see. I guess it would depend on what you're spraying and what the native vegetation around the field was. And if you were spraying something that you knew was very toxic to honeybees and there was a heavy wind and you had a lot of flower and vegetation in your field and borders, then I would probably wait till maybe the wind wasn't as heavy.
Any other questions? Judges, come on. I know you guys have a question.
Thank you.